Today, Karen continues the series Encounters with Jesus, with Karen's message titled A Lifelong Outcast. The podcast starts with readings from Tim and Ken from John 9:13-34 and 35-41.
The story continues in John chapter 9, verse 13. The Pharisees investigate the healing. They brought to the Pharisees the man who had been blind. Now the day on which Jesus made the mud and opened the man's eyes was a Sabbath. Therefore the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He put mud on my eyes, the man replied, and I washed, and now I see. Some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath. But others asked, how can a sinner do such miraculous signs? So they were divided. Finally, they turned again to the blind man. What have you to say about him? It was your eyes he opened. The man replied, he is a prophet. The Jews still did not believe that he had been blind and received his sight until they sent for the man's parents. Is this your son? They asked. Is this the one you say was born blind? How is it that now he can see? We know he is our son, the parents answered. And we know he was born blind. But how he can see now or who opened his eyes, we don't know. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself. His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, for already the Jews had decided that anyone who acknowledged that Jesus was the Christ would be put out of the synagogue. That was why his parents said, he is of age, ask him. A second time they summoned the man who had been born blind. Give God the glory, they said. We know this man is a sinner. He replied, whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know. I was blind, but now I see. Then they asked him, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? He answered, I have told you already and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciple too? Then they hurled insults at him and said, you are this fellow's disciples. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses, but as for this fellow, we don't even know where he comes from. The man answered, now that is remarkable. You don't know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly man who does his will. No one has ever heard of opening the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. To this they replied, you are steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us? And they threw him out.
The third reading, John 9:35-41, was taken from the NIV, and it's headed spiritual blindness, unlike the previous ones, which were theoretical blindness. Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, and when he found him, he said, do you believe in the Son of Man? Who is he, sir? The man asked. Tell me so that I may believe in him. Jesus said, you have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you. Then the man said, Lord, I believe, and he worshipped him. Jesus said, for judgment I have come into this world, so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind. Some Pharisees who were with him heard him say this and asked, what? Are we blind too? Jesus said, if you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. But now that you claim you can see, your guilt remains. Amen.
Good morning. Encounters with Jesus. I'm really enjoying having an encounter with Jesus. That's good. We should be enjoying having an encounter with Jesus, but I'm really enjoying watching how Jesus made this change to people's lives. So a man born blind. This man was what some may call a lifelong loser. I don't think I like to call anyone a loser. So I'm going to acknowledge that life was not a big win for this man. His encounter with Jesus, though, meant that this story was recorded. How many millions of people do you think have read his story? I don't know if you're a loser, if you've got someone reading his story. If he'd written a book now and he sold it, I think he'd be on a big win. Now, there's a quote here that I've got from this guy. Do you know Donald Rumsfeld? Rumsfeld. He's a US guy, and I'm not into US politics, but this is his quote, and I love what he says. There are known knowns. There are things that we know. Good so far?
Okay.
We also know there are known unknowns. That is to say, we know there are some things that we do not know. But there are also unknown unknowns. The ones we don't know, we don't know. Right. I'm not going to unpack that any more than that. I'm just going to leave that out there. So how do you know what it is that you don't know? Over the years, so that little thing with the kids, with Braille books, if you don't know me, I've taught blind children for a long time. And over the years, it's very interesting to find out what kids know, because we presume we know something, therefore everybody knows it. But finding some gaps in knowledge were very interesting. A young man who was blind from birth, like her man in the story today, was about to go on a big overseas holiday. Finished school, was about to go on a holiday, and he was talking to his teacher, not me, another teacher, about this, you know, how amazing it was that planes could fly that far, and how significant it was, and how that plane must be built so amazingly. You'd have to put him on to Judah to talk about plane mechanics. But he was amazed because he presumed that, just like a bird, this plane flapped its wings all the way to his holiday that he was going on. He didn't know that. He knew that a bird, when it flew, flapped its wings, so he presumed that a plane did the same. Another child, a young girl, sadly though, believed that she was never going to grow up. She would be a child who was blind, but when she reached adulthood, well, she wouldn't reach adulthood, she believed she would die. The reason she believed that is she'd never met a blind adult. So everyone that she knew that was blind was a child. Another girl, in a similar understanding, thought that she would only be blind while she was a child, because all the adults that she knew, well, then they could see. So maybe when she grew up, she'd be able to see. So you know, what we don't know, there's just so many interesting things. And John's account that we read today of this miraculous healing of this man born blind is a real display of what was known and what was not known. It's also about how those who didn't know tried to find out and what it was that was in their way. So how do we get to know anything at all? Good question. I'm glad you asked it. Because asking the right questions, getting the right answers is a really good start. Now, anyone who's had a 3 or 4-year-old in their lives may know that one question that they ask, that one word that they ask over and over and over. Why? Why? Although it can be a bit of a painful time when you're in it, especially if you're the one that's required to answer those same questions and rephrase it 20 different ways in a day. When our boys were little, they loved to watch Sesame Street. And Elmo, the little red monster, Elmo. Jeremy, I was going to try and do an Elmo voice, but I'm not going to do it. He used to say, asking questions is how you learn. And it was great. That's exactly encouraged them to ask questions. But you know what? Elmo wasn't the one standing there having to answer them over and over and over. So thanks, Elmo. So what I've done today is I've taken this Bible passage and I've broken it into Q&A, Q&A, Q&A. So we can look at the questions, see who's doing that asking, who's doing the answering, and what questions they came up with. First question is asked by the disciples. Rabbi, teacher, Jesus, you know everything. Who sinned? Was it this man or his parents? And Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents. This happened so the works of God might be displayed in him. As long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming, then no one can work. While I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. So this answer that Jesus gives is actually the longest answer in all of the passage. There's some short answers, short, sharp, longer ones. This is the longest answer, the one that Jesus gives. He's asked A or B, and Jesus' answer is C. Don't you love it when you've got a question like that? Is it this or this? It's this. Then he goes on to give an explanation that shows us the real urgency. He knew that his time on earth was limited. We're all given a task, and we've all got limited time on earth. Ephesians 2:10 tells us, we are God's handiwork created in Jesus Christ to do good works which God has prepared in advance for us to do. So maybe that's your first question today. What is the good works prepared for us to do, for you to do? You can think about that question, and we're going to go look at the next question. These good works, the miracle that Jesus does here in verses 6 and 7, that's what we watched in the clip. Did you love the children's clip? I do, I love it. So Jesus' actions are an extension of his answer. He gives us that answer. I'll flick back to the answer. This is what we're doing. But then he goes and he does something to demonstrate the answer. I am the light of the world was a demonstration of the works, which served to provide the evidence for this amazing claim, that he was indeed the light of the world. And just as he would provide this sight and light for the man, he also provided spiritual sight and light. So the next Q&A comes from the onlookers. Isn't this the same man that used to sit and beg? Now, I'm surprised that they didn't know. Surely they knew this man. They probably walked past him every day. And there's a few responses. The first ones, they agree. Yeah, I think it's him. This is the one. The next response, no, just looks like him. It's not the same. And this answer, I am the man. So there's a truth to be found there in the answers. People will provide all kinds of variants and possible explanations for what they think is the truth. But the man's response can't be argued with. Can't argue with the man that says, yes, this is me. It's truth, clear and simple. So the people who see this, they question the man born blind in a matter-of-fact way because they really want to know what happened. So here's their next question. How then were your eyes open? How did it happen? How did it work? The man they called Jesus made some mud. He put it on my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and then I could see. Where is this man? I don't know. That lack of understanding, that desire for more. You know, I haven't got all the answers. I want a bit more. It leaves them looking for answers somewhere else. You'd have to imagine there'd be a bit of skepticism. They've seen the evidence of this amazing thing, a man born blind, and now he sees. But how? There are many known unknowns lead the people to take this man to the Pharisees. Now, verse 13 begins the second part of our three episodes in the story. It's broken into those three parts. And in the NIV that we read today, you see that they were given these titles. We were called Jesus Heals a Man Born Blind. That makes sense. The Pharisees Investigate the Healing. That's where we're heading to now. And that third episode, Spiritual Blindness. So here in episode 2, the Pharisees start investigating this healing. We don't read exactly the words of what the Pharisees said. It says that the Pharisees asked the man all about it. You can imagine they asked all kinds of questions. It just tells us the Pharisees asked the man all about it. And he answers, he put mud on my eyes, and when I washed it away, I could see. At that moment, the Pharisees are divided. Some say, this man is not from God, for he's working on the Sabbath. They don't really ask a question, they give an answer first. And so the man gives them a question. But how could such an ordinary sinner do such a miraculous sign? The answer, I suppose, is implied, it's not written. The answer is he can't. But rather than come to that conclusion that Jesus was no ordinary sinner, they ask the man again, what's your opinion about this man who healed you? And his answer? I think he must be a prophet. The Pharisees are really having trouble believing that this has happened. They're looking for a bit of a fraud. They're looking for what the trick is. So they call in the big guns. They go straight for the parents of the man. Now watch how the Pharisees fire this succession of questions at the parents. Is this your son? Was he born blind? If so, how can he see now? We know this is our son and that he was born blind, but we don't know how he can see. We don't know who healed him. Ask him. He's old enough to speak for himself. There's no opinion in their answer. Again, it's just the facts. We know, we don't know. The parents are no doubt just as surprised. They're probably shell-shocked to see that their son, that they gave birth to this now man, and he can see. There must have been an unleashing of emotions for them. And I imagine it'd be quite confusing time. We know from the disciples' first question that it was assumed in this time and in this culture that there was a reason for this man's blindness. So these parents, what guilt or what kind of despair did they hold? What hope would they have had for his future? What hope do they have now that this has happened? How does that change them? And I wonder what kind of fear they have for themselves. For them, there were so many of these unspoken questions. John tells us that the parents of this man were afraid. The Jewish leaders had decided anyone who acknowledged that Jesus was the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. So the parents took the questioning, referred it back to their son. The Pharisees make an accusation here by way of warning almost as they pump this man for some more information. Give glory to God by telling this truth. We know that this man's a sinner. In some other versions it says, now, come on, we know this already, you just tell us. It really pushes that, you're telling us a lie, you're not giving glory to God. I love the answer that the man gives to their implied question. It's direct, it's honest. Whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see. And in that statement, he summarised the whole story here. I don't know, I know. And as Tim was saying, telling your own story, giving your own experience is a really powerful thing. It's such a powerful witness. And in these next set of questions, you can see that power transfers from the Pharisees, who have all the power in this situation, to the man. And I love his response that he gives. It's almost, it's quite humorous, isn't it, when he talks to them. What did he do, they say? How did he open your eyes? And he says, I've told you already. I've already told you this. Why didn't you listen? What, do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples? So now the power of the Pharisees at this man, he's taken it back. They're not very happy about that, I imagine. They don't take too kindly to it. You are this fellow's disciple, they say to him. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses, but as for this fellow, we don't even know where he comes from. They're feeling under threat. But the man continues with such boldness. Now, that is remarkable. You don't know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly person who does his will. Nobody's ever heard of opening the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. I don't think those Pharisees were very happy with the impertinence of this young man. He's a sinner, a man who was not educated, a man who was totally unaccepted in that society because of his blindness and because he was a beggar that sat there on the streets. But now this man has had his physical and his spiritual eyes opened. Now he can see the truth. He states the truth. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. Instead of that light and that truth showing a new way forward for the Pharisees, they choose to stay in the dark. They hold on to their confusion and their offence. They say to the man, are you trying to teach us? And their answer to the man is they kick him out. They ask him, are you trying to teach us? But it's not really a question. It's probably more read like, how dare you try and teach us? At this stage, it tells us the man is turned out, he's rejected. His encounter with Jesus has been life-changing, but as we may have experienced, it's not always accepted by everyone else. If this had been the end of the account here, and that's where we finish, it would have been like having this quite satisfying meal, but having no dessert. There's something missing. But move on to episode 3, spiritual blindness. Jesus seeks out the man. So he's heard what's happening. He goes to find the man. Here's the Q&A between Jesus and this changed man. Do you believe in the Son of Man? Jesus asks him. He answers Jesus' question with a question. Who is he, sir? I want to believe in him. You have seen him, and it's him. It's him. This is me talking to you. Yes, Lord, I believe. It's a really simple exchange, isn't it? I entered this world, Jesus continues, to render judgment, to give sight to the blind, and to show those who think that they see that they are blind. Jesus gives a lot of answers. An encounter with Jesus brings us light and hope and answers. An encounter with Jesus, yes, will prompt more questions, more seeking, more answers. More questions, more seeking, more finding, more answers. That cycle of learning as we come to know Jesus more. But remember this, Jesus is the answer. When you or I encounter Jesus, the answer is there, right in front of us. When the disciples encountered Jesus, they found the answer to their quest. They found what they were looking for. They found their identity in him. But sadly, when the Pharisees encountered Jesus, they reacted with a bit of a fight, with rejection, and they failed to see the answer. The Pharisees say, "Are you saying we're blind? If you were blind, you wouldn't be guilty. But you remain guilty because you claim you can see." It sounds harsh. It sounds sad. I just feel, you know, pretty sad for those Pharisees. And we know that there were other Pharisees that we've read about, and we heard about Nicodemus recently. So it's not all sad, but you know, it leaves you with that, oh, if only, what had happened? So when the blind man is questioned, when his parents question, they give that, "I don't know. I don't know, I don't have the answer, but I do know." So have a think about this. What's your known and your unknown? I don't know who this Jesus is, but I know that I was blind and now I see, said the man. I don't know how he did it, but I know that he did. I don't know what God has in store for me, but I know that he has a plan. How do we know some of these answers? How do we know what we know? Jeremiah 29:11. "I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." So for many of our unknowns, there's a known, there's an answer there. What about this known and unknown? "I don't know why Jesus chose me, but I know that I'm his child." How do we know? You're no longer a slave. You're God's child. And since you are his child, God has also made you an heir. It's a great promise for us. It's great to take hold of these things that we can read and know, make that our known. This known and unknown. I don't know how or why Jesus forgives me. But I know that he has, that he does, and that he will continue to offer me forgiveness. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just. He will forgive our sins and he will purify us from all unrighteousness. These knowns are great things to memorize, to have written down so that you can claim them. Yep, I know this. This is my known. In the second letter to Timothy, Paul's talking about his suffering and what's been going on for him. He doesn't know why he has that suffering, but this is his promise. This is his known. "I know whom I have believed, and I'm convinced that he is able to guard what I've entrusted to him until that day." We sing that, don't we? We love that. "I know whom I have believed. I am persuaded that he is able." It's a great known. Can you fill in your own known, unknown? Have a think. Ponder that. What would you put there? I want to just ask us to take some time to quietly sit, to look at that, to have a conversation, to ask, "Lord, I don't know something. Maybe there's something in your life that's really, that's a real struggle, it's a real challenge. I don't know how this is going to happen. I don't know what's next. I don't know how this is going to work out. But I do know." So I just want you to sit quietly. We're going to have a song that we're going to listen to, but before that, can you sit quietly? Can you ask that? Have that conversation with God. Have your Q&A. "Lord Jesus, I don't know, but I'll tell you what I do know." Lord, you are the answer. Christ is the answer to my every need. We have many things that we know, and we're grateful that we can have confidence in knowing that. But God, for the unknowns, I pray that you would give us the known. I pray for the things that my friends here right now are thinking, the things that don't make sense, the things that are a challenge and a struggle, all of the unknowns. Lord, I pray that you would give each and every one of us a known. Give us that sense of knowing that you know, you have the answer, you are the answer. And Lord, as we continue to ponder that, help us to seek you, to find the answer. Help us to ask you more. Lord, open the eyes of our heart to know what it is that you want us to know.
Thank you for listening today. If you would like to know more, our services are on Sunday mornings at Caloundra Salvo's, 119 Sugarbag Road, Little Mountain, at 10 o'clock. Thank you and God bless.